What makes a man fall in love with a woman? In this conversation between two very handsome coaches, we're going to be revealing the secrets of why a man falls in love. What are the traits? What are the behaviors that trigger those feelings of not just I like this woman, but I actually love this woman. I want to commit to this woman. I see a future with her. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. Rather than feelings of I'm not interested. I need to pull away. I need to get space. This isn't the woman for me, and I'm falling out of love. So we're going to avoid that. I'm Brody Boyd. I've been coaching men and women for over a decade now. Kevin.
And I'm Kevin Anthony. I've also been coaching men, women, and couples for over a decade.
So we're going to go ahead and dive in, and let's go ahead and start this conversation. I want to hear from you, Kevin, with the woman that you've fallen in love with, the women that you've fallen in love with in your life. What do you feel were some of the strongest traits that triggered that feeling of like, I love this woman, not just like, oh, it's nice, so this is a good connection, maybe a hookup situation, but like the feeling of like, wow, I actually love this woman. What was that for you?
That's a really great question. You know, one of the things that I have noticed throughout my life with the women that I've really felt strongly about is one of the things I noticed that they all had in common is they were all really feminine. Mm. And so there's something about a woman when she's really embodying her feminine and showing up from that place that is irresistibly attractive. Now, I have seen that I'm sometimes attracted to women who are a bit more in their masculine, but that physical attraction never is enough to carry the relationship over the long term. And so the ones that I've noticed that I've really been attracted to long term are the ones that really are embodying the feminine. And you know, these days, lots of people are talking about polarity teachings. You hear it and see it all over the place. But there really is something to that. So when a woman really shows up in her feminine and you know, me showing up as my masculine, there's polarity there. And that polarity, as long as you maintain, you know, staying in your masculine and your feminine, that polarity will stay long term. What tends to happen with the women who show up more in their masculine is there's an initial attraction, right? And there may even be some pretty good sex. But eventually, those two masculine energies just competing with each other, it just gets tiresome for us as men. Like, we just feel like we're constantly combating all the time. We're constantly competing all the time. And eventually, you get tired of it.
Yeah, totally. It's just like the analogy that I talk about often is dancing, right? You have one partner leading and one partner following. If both people are trying to lead, of course, the dance is a mess, and it turns into just a disaster on the dance floor and or in your relationship. And it's also like when you're driving a car, right? Only one person can be the driver, one person can be the passenger. If both people are grabbing the steering wheel, you're probably going to crash. And so it's going to be interesting to unpack, because this interesting distinction of like what you mentioned of how we as men, we can be highly attracted to a woman physically based on even just her physical appearance, because we as men are very visual creatures. Mm-hmm. However, what you're talking about is like long-term attraction, as well as more even the emotional attraction, where we're feeling like really connected and bonded to that woman because of now we have this kind of harmony, this masculine feminine harmony, where we see this as a partner we can dance with and dance long term, and it's enjoyable, and we feel like we have purpose and meaning in the relationship, and we're able to provide and give our gifts, and she is receiving those gifts, she's appreciating those gifts, she is responsive, and then we feel like, wow, this is a very nice connection.
Yeah, and what can happen early on, you know, I mentioned a minute ago that sometimes we can be really attracted to the women who show up more in their masculine, because when they show up in their masculine, they can be a bit more forward. Mm. They can mm-hmm. be a bit more aggressive sexually, which initially is like, oh yeah, she's all over me, you know, oh yeah, she's grabbing my crotch, or she's propositioning me, or yeah, she's approaching me and at the bar or whatever it is. And so that can be attractive in that moment. The problem is that that continues on in other unhealthy ways later on down the road in the relationship. And then it starts like, Why am I always competing? Why is it every time I say something, I'm challenged on it and we get into a debate, right? And it doesn't mean that you know, women can't challenge us if we say something. It's all in how you do it, right? And this is really a lost art these days with women. How to show up in your feminine, because I know inevitably, just from reading the comments on some of the videos I've done on your channel, inevitably some women are going to watch this interview and they're going to be triggered immediately by it, right? they just are. Oh, I have to be in my feminine. Oh, I have to surrender, you know, that sort of thing. It's because they don't understand the true power of the feminine. It is immensely powerful. Do not ever confuse being in your feminine or being a bit more, you know, submissive, which is a term you hear a lot of polarity teachers using. Do not ever associate that with weakness, because it is not weak in any way. It's a different way of approaching the masculine. So when you show up in your masculine, right, we get two people competing, butting heads all the time. When you soften into your feminine, you show up in a way that inspires us. Like the analogy I use all the time is that when a woman really shows up in her feminine, she gets us to do what she wants us to do, and then we think it's our idea. As opposed to, see, when you show up in your masculine, you might get us to do what you want us to do, but we're probably going to be resentful because you're kind of forcing us to do it. When you show up from your feminine, you inspire us, right? You become our muse, and we just do these things, and we're like, that was such a great idea, you know? Meanwhile, you're laughing behind your back because you're like, I'm the one that gave you that idea. I'm the one that planted it in your head and then fertilized it before you took it and grew it, right? You know? So great women really inspire us to be great men. And that only happens when you're in your feminine.
Yeah, totally. It's this idea of how do you actually encourage a man to be in his masculine, lead, take initiative, give those gifts to you so that he feels like, hey, this relationship has value to me. I feel valued. I feel received. I feel like I have a purpose and meaning in this relationship. So it's a super powerful discussion. And I'm curious to go more into, because I'm sure some women are now wondering, what are some specific things? Like, what does that look like? And you mentioned some things as well, which is really important to go into. Like, we talk a lot about in our coaching and in the videos, feminine communication, how a woman can actually talk to a man. But I want to hear from you. Like, are there any specific moments you remember from a woman, it could be any relationship you've had throughout your life, where she did something that was very feminine that you felt, wow, that made me just this much more attracted to her because of how she spoke to me or what she said or what she did. What are some specifics, if we can come up with some?
I don't know if I can think of a specific moment or situation, but like generally speaking, the way a woman shows up and approaches anything that they want us to do is, well, it's really important, first of all.
But because it's so easy to go into leading and wanting to just control the situation and direct the man, which puts her into her masculine. So it's a feminine art to actually
there's
encourage rather than lead.
Yeah, so there's the wanting to step up and lead, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, this is primarily geared towards women, but if there's any men watching this, one of the reasons why women do that is because you're not stepping up as a man. If you don't step up as a man and lead, you create a vacuum, and the women will always step up and fill that void. Always. That's just what they do, right? So if she is attempting to do that, look at yourself and see whether or not you're really stepping up. Having said that, how you approach a man when you want him to do something for you is really important. So what does that mean? You can go into controlling, but you can also go into the nagging and complaining, right? That's the negative expression of the feminine. So rather than saying, well, you never do this and you never do that, and I need you to do this and I need you to do that, and won't you do this and won't you do that? You want to inspire him. You want to say something like, you know, I would love it if you could do this, because when you do this, it makes me feel this way, right? And it could be anything. Just pick any, you know, household thing around the house. Like, You know, I love it when you help me straighten up around the house, because when you do that, I just feel so much more relaxed. And when I'm relaxed, then, you know, I start to get turned on, right? Mm-hmm. So you see how you can inspire him, because as soon as he hears that, he's like, wait a minute. You mean if I just like take the trash out and do a few dishes, like you'll be hornier? Yeah, okay, I'm in. I'm in for
like
that.
Like a clear map to the vajayjay.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah. But you see, there's a huge difference in those two things. Oh, you never take out the trash when I tell you to. Or why won't you take out the trash? Or I need you to do this now is another thing that you often hear. Versus, you know, when, and here's another one too. When you just do these things without me having to ask you, I feel so supported by you. Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. as men, we want to support you. We want to take care of you. We want to do things for you. Right? But it helps if you inspire us. So when you say, you know, I love the fact that I never have to ask you to take out the trash. I feel so supported, and I know I can trust you because you've got it. You'll take care of it. And I don't even have to think about it. And that really puts my nervous system at ease, right? Completely different way of communicating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, positive reinforcement is so powerful with us men, especially appreciation. And I feel like really the appreciation, the top two love languages of men is physical appreciation and words of touch. That's like the two, because they're really both intimately linked, appreciation and touch. And I'm making a joke there by kind of mixing them up and combining them. But that's how you reinforce a man, is usually through those are the primary for most men, I would say. So yes, words of affirmation and the way you appreciate a man, and especially how you share what you feel with him. I feel so horny, like you said, or I feel so great. I feel so happy. I feel so safe. I feel so comfortable. I feel so relaxed. When you, what he did, or just say, you don't even have to often say that. He'll probably know if you say how you feel in the moment after he did something, like, thanks, I feel so comfortable now. After you like shut the window or something that was, you know, was too noisy or was too cold, or some guy was watching, looking in the window, you shut it. That's like, you'll know, the guy will know. So expressing your feeling in your heart, that's how he knows his impact that he's having emotionally on you, which makes him feel great. And then we feel like, wow, we're winning. We're doing something good. I want to do more of that because I want her to be happy. If he has any level of care for you, he's going to want to make you happy. He's going to want to do more of those things. And that's how you give him a playbook to win. And it's very powerful.
Yeah, you know, a lot of women don't realize that as men, we actually want to make you happy. We really do. And if we're not making you happy, there's got to be some good reasons for it. So you want to look at, you know, how are you inspiring us, right? How are you showing up? Are you being in your feminine? Are you, as you said, appreciating us? Because we respond to appreciation. And, you know, as men, we love, like, if you just gave us the playbook, like, here's the female playbook, right? Like, here we go. Here's all you got to do. We would be okay with that. We love that. Like, just tell us what the rules are. Give us the directions.
Yes, please tell us what makes you happy. And don't frame it in a way of, like, what you don't like or all the things he's not doing or done wrong. But, like, also give him some wins as far as what he is already doing right and emphasize those. And then you can add some more to the list of like other things that would really make you happy and feel good.
Right. So one, tell us what you want. Tell us what you want, what you need. And then once we do that, let us know that we actually did it and that you appreciated it. Mm-hmm. It's not actually that difficult.
Yeah. One thing I've been thinking about and wanting to actually do a new module in one of our courses is this idea of receiving and responding. So your man, he's doing things and he's saying things and he is who he is in your relationship. And he's ideally also probably saying things, doing things for her, for you. And then all you really have to do being in the feminine is respond. You receive and you respond. Just like in sex, you receive, you respond either verbally or with your body, with your pleasure, which you talk a lot about. But you can also do it in other areas of your relationship. Whatever he does, you receive it and then you respond. How did that make you feel? And you can share with him, good or bad. If he did something that made you feel bad, you say, may I share something with you? Sure. I feel anxiety right now, or I feel discomfort, or I feel confusion, or I feel pain or hurt. or sadness, and so, or joy or gratitude. So you constantly can be this reflection for him of his actions in a way where he just kind of sees you're almost like his, it's like a compass to see if he's on track making you happy or not. It doesn't mean you always have to be light and fluffy and positive. If you're feeling sad, let him know you're feeling sad, and he'll probably want to know why. And then he can adjust and say like, oh, I need to find a solution here. I need to do something different. And so, but that's the constant like dance you can get into a man of just receiving, responding. You're letting him lead, you're letting him provide, you're letting him do his best that he can do in the relationship at the time, and you're responding with how that makes you feel. And now he gets this kind of signal with you, just like in a dance, he knows you're responding to his moves, you're twirling when he wants to dip you. And if you stop twirling or you're like, this isn't enjoyable for me, you let him know and he can adjust and then do the dance better.
Yeah, and that idea of receiving and responding, that's classic being in your feminine. The feminine does receive. That's what they do. They receive everything, right down to, you know, your seed. You know, you receive a man's genitals, but you receive basically everything. And then you take what you receive and you create and you give back. That is really, truly being in your feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. You receive and respond. It's a beautiful dance. And so continuing on this theme of what makes a man fall in love, let's talk about some other traits. It could be traits related to femininity or other traits in a woman. What are some other traits that you feel have activated feelings of love for you in a woman?
Well, you know, we started talking about being in the feminine and mm-hmm. having polarity. And then we also went into, you know, how she responds, how she communicates. And that, you know, we don't need to talk a whole lot about how to communicate, but I just want to reemphasize that the way a woman communicates with me is really, really important. If she communicates from that softer, more feminine place, it just makes all the difference in the world. And I would also say we kind of covered this as well. As a man, it's really important for me to feel recognized and valued for all the things that I do, right? Because again, as men, we want to actually help you. We want to do things for you. We want to make you happy. But if we feel like we're constantly doing, well, I did this and I fixed this and I made this for her and I did this and I did that, but we never get any sort of positive feedback from it, then resentment starts to build up. Like, why do I do all these things? It's like she doesn't even care, right?
So why am I here? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
what purpose did I have?
Am I just the slave to take care of all the stuff that needs to be taken care of, right? So that positive reinforcement, that appreciation is huge.
Oh, this is a really good point that you bring up, because I feel one of the big keys that makes a man fall in love in a relationship, and definitely one thing that made me fall in love with my wife, is this idea of feeling needed and valuable. And actually, this made me fall in love with my first serious relationship as well. And that was even almost more of an extreme example that we can talk about. But this idea of feeling needed, wanted, and valued. And a woman can show that through actually needing things from us, not letting, like, one of the biggest mistakes I feel a woman can make is when a man wants to help you with something, he wants to provide something for you, and you say something like, no, I got it, or I can do it myself, or I don't need your help right now, or you don't say anything like you're talking about, like where you do solve the problem, or you do provide something, some provision or protection or gift of some kind, and she just is kind of doesn't say anything, doesn't even acknowledge that it was there. And then we feel denied as men, because it's just like this receive and respond. We feel there is no receiving, there's no reception of our gifts. And it's just like trying to have sex with somebody and there's like, what do you call those chastity belts? It's like there's a chastity belt on. Mm-hmm. You can't access the goods for a man emotionally, is feeling received, not just physically with sex, but emotionally, and that we have value. Because if we don't feel received, we don't feel like we're able to provide value in that way, then it's a fundamental denial of our masculine abilities to give and provide. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, why are we here? Why do you need me? And so men feel, I think, love differently than women in that sense, and even happiness differently in that sense. For us, it's less like pleasure and joy. It's more of actually purpose and meaning that we have a purpose in the relationship, or we're providing something that we feel good, that we have meaning in what we're doing, and somebody else we're making happy. Like, we feel happy because she's happy, less so than like, we need to feel that pleasure. Mm-hmm. We need to feel those feelings.
One of the things that I absolutely loved about my wife, Celine, was that, you know, she would say all the time, she's like, I know I can do it, but I like it when you do it for me.
Yeah. Right?
And she was an incredibly capable woman. She was an entrepreneur. She was the sole breadwinner in her relationship prior to us getting together. So I knew that she could take care of any of this stuff, you know, if she had to. But she loved to be like, I know I can do it, but I like it when you do it for me.
It's a great phrase. I recommend writing that down right now, or somebody post that in the comments. Because there's so much gold right there. It's just hearing those words too. I'm like, damn, that is attractive when a woman says something like that, because she's acknowledging, like, she's fully receiving you in that moment. Mm-hmm. She's saying like, I don't want to self-pleasure myself. I don't want to just live life by myself. Like, I want you in me. I want you in my life. And so there's almost nothing, I think, sexier to a man to feel like a woman is like, she's craving us to be in her life and providing in that way, and accepting and encouraging and receiving that. Because a lot of this, you can tell, a lot of these things, principles we're talking about, goes back to very fundamental human attributes like sex and the biology of sex. Like, that can be translated into the nature of a relationship. So many of these principles hold true in the macro, the micro, and the macro, also like the dance that we were talking about, that causes a man to feel feelings of love and value, and I can see a future with this woman, when perhaps with other women he wouldn't feel that, because he doesn't feel received, he doesn't feel valued, he doesn't feel like she needs him. And so he's like, I'm going to move on. I'm going to let you, I want you to be happy, so I'm going to let you be happy by yourself. I'm going to let you be happy with somebody else who can make you happy, because obviously I can't, or obviously you don't want what I have to provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I got another one for you.
Yeah.
That is highly attractive. And at this point in my life, I would say it's actually the number one thing that I find attractive in women.
Let's hear it.
And that is emotional maturity.
Hmm.
A woman who has mastered control over her emotions. Well, what does that mean? It means she doesn't fly off the handle. She doesn't have wild emotional, you know, swings where she's yelling at us one minute and crying the next minute. And now, that doesn't mean you can't have your emotions. That doesn't mean that there won't be ups and downs and shifts. You are still a woman. There are still hormones changing regularly, daily in your body, especially if you're pre-menopause. So we expect those subtle shifts and fluctuations. But a woman that knows that, let's say, for instance, she's in a certain part of her cycle and she's feeling maybe a bit more tender, right? You know, maybe she's even crying in that moment, but she has the awareness to be able to tell you, I'm just feeling really emotional right now. It's not about you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
She has that awareness, that emotional maturity. She also has the emotional maturity and the communication skills to be able to communicate when she's feeling one way or another.
Beautiful.
Right? So she doesn't get triggered easily, mm-hmm. right? She doesn't fly off the handle. She doesn't have emotional outbursts. Doesn't mean she doesn't have emotions. It just means that she's aware of the emotional fluctuations. She doesn't take those out on us as the man.
Mm.
That is hugely, hugely attractive.
Yeah, so powerful, because what happens with the opposite of what you're talking about is often will come across as masculine behavior, actually, which leads into those behaviors of criticizing, blaming, attacking, competing, and emasculating at its worst. And another term for it could be emotional responsibility, where you feel, emotional responsibility is one term. And one thing that we talk about in when we teach masculine feminine polarity is this idea of there are no bad emotions, there are only bad behaviors. So the emotion itself, like what you're talking about, the emotion is actually beautiful. Like, feel sad, feel scared, feel anxious, feel needy, feel insecure. Whatever you're feeling, a man wants to feel your heart, and that's part of him feeling received by you. It's like you're opening, you're trusting him to reveal your heart. And then so those are beautiful. Now, the bad behavior would be then taking that emotion, let's say anger or fear or sadness, and then making him responsible for it and saying, you causing me to feel this way, or George is venting onto him and dumping onto him. Like sometimes this happens still with me and my wife occasionally, where she'll be upset about something. She's gotten a lot better about this, but occasionally she'll be upset about something like, let's say, technology. Technology is her...
Achilles heel.
Yeah, Achilles heel, or what's the thing with Superman? Kryptonite?
Kryptonite, yeah.
Yeah. Technology is her kryptonite, so she'll get really frustrated about something, and she'll be like, ah, why isn't this working? Or I can't get it to do... And then I'm like sitting in my room, and I'm feeling like, I feel like this is about me. Somehow I make it feel like, I feel like this is about me. And she's often, when she's like that, upset about, because I feel as a man, I feel responsible. Like I want to fix this problem for her. And the fact that she's upset and yelling, I feel like she's yelling at me. And so she's gotten better about it, like being clear with me, like, I'm not upset at you. I'm upset with this. And so that's part of it, is like, it's okay to be upset about something. But as soon as you like are dumping it on him, like if you were to put it on him, or just be like channeling that energy into your interactions with him, and like having a little bit of like a, maybe more of like a bitchy energy, or just like a upset kind of negative energy, and kind of putting that onto him, like, now he feels bad because he feels like now you're criticizing him. You're making him the problem. And then he might not even know how to fix it, because like if you said, also if it's hormonal or something, that's just you just aren't in a good mood, but he can't do anything about it. What's he going to do with that? He's just going to feel bad.
Not only can he not do anything about it, but if he attempts to try to fix it, it's only going to make things worse, right? How many times have you heard from women, I don't need you to fix me, right? You know, and that's valid. That's actually valid. I'm not saying that's wrong. But the thing is, when you project those emotions on him and make it about him and make him wrong for it, the first thing he's going to want to do is fix it.
Yeah.
Which is then just going to trigger you more and then create basically a feedback loop and perpetuate the problem.
Yeah. And I think that's, in a good case, the man will try to fix it. In the best case scenario, he'll try to fix it. In the worst case scenario, he's going to like give some back, right?
So he like might lash back.
He'll get triggered. He'll say like F you, like I did this for you yesterday. You can't put that on me, or I fixed it last time. Or he'll like, you know, create an argument. And now it's like there's this fight because you didn't take responsibility for your emotions. You put it onto him, or you're wielding it in some way where it's energetically attacking him, basically, unknowingly. It's like wielding it like a weapon, the emotion, rather than sharing vulnerably and asking for help, potentially. And so that's one way actually you can shift yourself to avoid putting an emotion onto a man, is say like, I feel this, I don't know what to do. Or I feel this emotion, may I ask for some help? Could you help me? And now it makes sure that you're not energetically penetrating him and putting the emotion onto him, but instead like, this is how I feel, I don't know what to do. And now you're in your feminine again. It's like, you have the flow of emotions. I feel sad, I feel angry, I don't know what to do. And if you do want him to help, you could say, can I have some help? And his help could just be putting his arm around you. It could just be having sex with you. It could be he makes you laugh. Or it could be some other problem. He asks more questions like, why are you feeling upset? I'm feeling upset because this happened yesterday and the car hasn't been washed and the dog still has to get a hairdo. And then so you can actually say, well, I'm going to step in and I'm going to go take the dog to the barbershop and we'll get this figured out right now and get him a nice, like a mullet or something.
don't get your dog a mullet. So I got another one for you as well.
Yeah.
And that is when she trusts us, right? So how many times have you seen a scenario where, you know, your woman will ask you to do something and then she'll proceed to tell you exactly how to do it because she doesn't trust that you'll do it the way that she wants it done.
Right, exactly. Micromanaging, laying it out step by step, which is really very condescending.
Exactly. Yeah. Or she'll just go ahead and do it herself because she doesn't trust that you'll actually do it or do it right.
Right, yeah.
So this idea of, if you ask us to do something, if you want us to support you in some way, then just letting us handle it and take care of it and knowing that we will actually do it and we will do it well. Now, part of that is we may not do it the same way that you would have done it, but that's not important. What's important is the end result. Do we get to the same end result that you were looking for? So one of the places that women go wrong is they start doing that micromanaging thing. And it's like, well, no, you got to do it this way and this way and this way. And he's like, I got this. I have my own way of doing it. We'll end up with the same result. Don't micromanage me, right? So obviously not micromanaging, but the main point here is trusting him that he's got you, that he's going to take care of you, that he's going to do what he says. Now, obviously, the man actually has to do those things, right? So if we were having this conversation and it was geared towards men, we'd be talking about when she asks you how to do something, you need to actually do it, or don't say that you're going to. Don't yes. commit to something that you're not going to do or you can't do, right?
Hey, can we get an amen for that? If you amen that, put in the comments, amen. Please, men, do what you say and say what you do, or don't say anything.
That is hugely important. Again, if this video were for men, we'd spend the next 20 minutes talking about the importance of keeping your word.
Yeah, but since it's a very strong masculine trait. Yeah, it's very important.
But since we're talking about women, the idea is when you ask us to do something, trust that we will do it. Trust that we've got you.
Now, a great analogy for this that I've shared before that a lot of women liked was the idea of getting on a private jet. So imagine a woman getting onto a private jet and there's champagne out for her, there's a nice plate of food, and they're going to be flying to Hawaii. Now, the masculine would be the pilot in the jet. So the masculine's going to fly the jet to Hawaii, and it planes as they fly. They're not always on course. Sometimes they have to adjust for wind, so he might be quote-unquote making mistakes as he's flying there. But are you going to go up to the cockpit, not knowing anything about flying as a woman, and start micromanaging him and say, hey, you should actually adjust. Can we fly a little higher? I think you need to be about 1,000 feet higher from here. Or actually, do you know that there's other flights coming through this today? And actually, I think, what does this knob do over here? I think I should do this. And actually, why don't you just let me just take over the plane here. Would you rather do that? Or would you rather trust that the man is flying the plane, he's got it handled, and you can just sit in the plane, sip on the champagne, listen to David Bowie or whatever your favorite song is, and just enjoy and relax and have a nice flight to Hawaii? So I like that analogy because it's just about like, what's the ultimate trust? The ultimate trust is like when you're in a plane, you know, allowing someone to fly. Now, I know what you're probably saying here. Well, what if my man doesn't know how to fly well? What if he does crash the plane? So part of this is trusting. Now, if we step back, we don't have to necessarily have the plane analogy for that, but trusting that the man, he will figure it out eventually. Like, you have to give him the space. He will make mistakes. He will screw it up sometimes. And so maybe with more important things, you can, you know, may I make a suggestion, or may I share something that I see, or share a concern that I have? So in a respectful way, you can still share some concerns that you see, some things that he might need to adjust. With lesser things, and most things, I would say in a relationship, let him, he knows what the goal is. He knows what the project is. Let him try to figure it out. Like you're saying, he may make a mistake, but let him learn. If you're constantly doing it for him, he never gets a chance to grow into his masculine and be your hero, protector, provider. So you have to let him screw up and share how you feel. If he makes a mistake, share how that makes you feel. I feel sad. Why do you feel sad? Because, you know, you didn't quite choose the car that I had in mind for our rental. And it's going to be really hard because there's not enough space to hold my luggage. I don't know what to do. And now it's back on him. He's like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I should have gotten a bigger car. I'm sorry. Next time I'll make sure I get a bigger one, or I'm going to go return it tomorrow. But now he feels actually okay about it because you're just shared vulnerably. He didn't attack him about it. You said, I don't know what to do. You kind of put it back onto him. You weren't telling him what to do. And now he gets to fix the problem and he's learning and he's getting better. And next time he's going to have it handled even more. And he'll hopefully say, thanks for sharing how you felt. And you have this beautiful relationship where now you're cultivating his masculine to continue to step up. And now he feels valued, wanted, and he naturally will want to devote himself to you more because of that. And he's falling in love, because we're kind of bringing it back to the subject here, is he'll start falling in love when he feels that from you.
Yeah, newsflash, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes. And, you know, exactly what you just said, you know, even if you do know about how to fly, and maybe you're an expert pilot, as long as what he's doing isn't dangerous to you in any way, then it doesn't do you any good to come in and start micromanaging and telling him how to fly the plane. Now, obviously, if you were going to do something that was dangerous, like he might actually crash the plane.
Then he's doing loop. If he's trying to do loops in the jet, that might be something like, "May I share something with you? I don't feel so comfortable with this right now."
But short of that, you can either just let him figure it out, as you said. He might make some mistakes, but eventually you'll get there. Or if you do need to make a suggestion, you make a suggestion. I'll give you an example from today. I was helping some friends with some technical stuff at their house. And I was working with some hardware and an app that I've never worked with before that they use regularly in their home, but yet they still couldn't figure out, you know, how to make it work. And I had it maybe like 90% fixed. And there was one thing I just couldn't quite figure out. And I'm sitting there screwing around with it. And she says to me, "Do you think maybe it's because you need to change the type?" Now, that doesn't, you know, the actual thing, like, you know, change the type, whatever. I don't need to explain that or what I was working on. The point is how she approached it, right? So I spent 2 hours on this. I fixed like all these things and I had one last thing I just couldn't quite figure out. But because she uses the app every day, she had an idea. She didn't know if it would work either, but she simply suggested in a very feminine way, "Do you think maybe it's because we need to change the type?" And I thought, oh, I don't even know if you can do that. There's no obvious way to do that within the app. But that idea, that suggestion that she put in my head got me thinking, and I went, okay, I'm gonna pursue that and see what I can figure out. And after digging around a little bit, I found there was actually a way to change the type, and it did actually solve the problem. But that's the feminine way of approaching it, rather than saying, "Give me that thing. Let me see. You can't figure it out. I'll take care of it. Or you need to do this, or you need to do that." Right? Yes. I was like, "Do you think maybe?" And I was like, "Oh, that put the idea in my head." And then I searched out the way to actually do it.
Yes. Another powerful principle you want to write down is the masculine tells, the feminine asks. So the masculine is telling and commanding, leading, guiding. The feminine makes requests and asks. As that was a beautiful request. Question that she had. Rather, she could have said, "Why don't you?" Or she could have said, "I think you should go change the type," or "Go check out the type," or "Why don't you go do the type?" I mean, that would even be phrased almost like telling you what to do rather than a question. But do you think, perhaps, I would even recommend a phrasing of like, "May I make a suggestion?" Or "Can I may I share an idea that I have?" Or "May I share a thought that I have?" And so it's even more like respectful to like make sure you're not penetrating him energetically or telling him what to do and moving into your masculine. Like a lot of what we teach here is safeguards to help you avoid going into your masculine, which will ruin the polarity potentially with a man and start pushing him away and not allow him to start feeling those feelings of love because you've taken that role from him. He has no purpose in the relationship and he's going to not want to help anymore or be able to provide.
Yeah. So when you're asking me like, what is it that makes me fall in love with a woman? Well, we've covered several of them, right? She's in her feminine. She's emotionally mature. She communicates well, and she trusts me. I would also add to that that she embraces her sexuality as a female. And she embodies what it means to be a sexually alive and embodied feminine. So for me as a man, so, and you can speak for yourself, Brody, on this, but as men, we are very sexually focused creatures. We have a drive and a desire to be sexual and to penetrate. And so to be in a relationship with a woman who doesn't reciprocate that in some way really doesn't work for me. It may be okay for some men, but I can tell you, having coached men for a long time, the number one complaint in their relationship is they don't get enough sex. So, yeah, being able to embody the essence of feminine sexuality in a healthy way in a relationship is hugely attractive.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to the fundamental principle of feminine principle of receptivity and being open and available to receive sex from a man. And that doesn't mean if you're dating a man right now, it doesn't mean you hook up with him right away and have sex right away. You can wait until a committed relationship, which I recommend. I recommend waiting until as long as you can, but as long as you're in a committed relationship to fully express and have sex, that doesn't mean also that you can't receive him in other ways, energetically, emotionally, mentally, you can still receive a man. But especially in the context of like a committed, loving relationship, to be sexually open and available and to also share with a man. So I think a lot of women, the reason why they're not having sex with men is because they're not really open and available. For one, the polarity is off oftentimes. The woman's more in her masculine, the man's more in his feminine, or they're equally polarized and neither of them are really, the law of polarity hasn't been activated, so there's no juice and attraction. And so there's no real sexual desire on either side. But if there is from the man's side and not the woman's side, then it's probably because she's not happy with the situation as well. She's not sharing how she feels. She's not receiving him in other ways. So she's not feeling that turn on in herself and encouraging him to be in his masculine. And so maybe share one other final thought. What is one thing a woman can do before we wrap this up to help encourage a man to help her be more sexually open and available in a relationship?
Really, from a man's point of view, he has to make sure that she knows he's committed to the relationship, that he has created a atmosphere in the relationship of safety and trust. Those are key elements to her being able to open up. So remember, we're talking about sexuality. We're talking about men and women. We've talked about this quite a bit so far in this talk, which is this: the women receive, right? They need to open up and receive. If you think about it, it's an extremely vulnerable thing to do, right? To get into some of the positions that women need to be in, to spread their legs, to open themselves up energetically, physically, everything. In order to do that, she needs to feel safe. She needs to absolutely trust the man. So if she's not wanting sex, there's a couple of things going on. She doesn't feel safe in the relationship. She doesn't trust you. Those are two main areas. So what does that mean? Well, you're not stepping up as a man. You're not taking lead. You're not keeping your word, right? So those are things that are instantly a turnoff and will make her close down immediately. Not only close down emotionally, but close down physically. Her legs will close. Everything will close, right? So
what's one thing she could do to help encourage the man to be more, that she can trust him more, that he can?
It's literally masculine. Everything that we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
You get into your feminine, right? You trust him that he's going to take care of things, right? All those things that we
talked about. And show him and verbalize how you
verbalize,
do trust him.
Yeah. Show him the appreciation. Basically encourage him to step up into his masculine and be the best version of himself that he can be. The more you encourage him to do that, the more he actually does that. Yeah. The more he actually does that, the more you can let go and soften and open up and receive.
Right. And you'll want to at that point because yes. He's being a man that you feel like you can do that with and you want to do that with. So awesome, man. I know there's so much more we can go into. I want to give a special gift for the women as well for listening to this. So what's one thing they can get as a resource for you if they want to continue this learning?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, which is kevinandcelene.com/vault. And the vault will give you access to what we call the Passion Vault. And in the Passion Vault is an entire library of resources to help you with sex, love, and relationship. It's everything from videos to ebooks and so much more. There's tons of stuff in there. It's lots and lots of free information. It's basically like having access to, you know, a free information repository of coaching.
Yeah, awesome. And then and you can also follow Kevin on YouTube at Kevin and Celine. And if you want to learn more specifically about masculine, feminine communication and polarity, we have actually a new quiz we've created called the Feminine Magnetic Feminine Polarity Quiz. You can get that from us as well by clicking the link in the description or going to femininepolarity.com. Femininepolarity.com. Highly recommend that quiz. That'll help you to get the principles and training to start attracting a loving, long-term, and committed relationship with a man you desire, a man that you perhaps you want in your life right now, that you want him to commit to you right now. So get that in the link below. Much love. Hope this was helpful. We enjoy this conversation, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon. Take care.